needing divine help. I need a trembling grace to venture with the word of God that you will find in the part of the chapter that we read together in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. And I venture in reading verses 26 and 27. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. As it ever is, I need the divine help of God, the Holy Spirit, and I need every word to be given me that I am to speak from the Word of God. There are times when we hesitate to speak, but I think that the Lord knows that 40 years ago, this year, this poor sinner first stood in this pulpit. And I had to venture then with this same word. And the Lord knows all that has transpired during those 40 years. I needed to go out for a walk on Friday afternoon when we arrived at our friend's home. And as I walked out, the Lord, I believe, gave me a word to venture with yesterday afternoon in Allington Chapel. And the word then was, and I would just read it to you, because what I'm going to read is truth that is so needed in these dark and cloudy days in which we now live. And what I read in Allington Chapel yesterday afternoon was this. It was found in Proverbs 22, verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now we're living in days when that ancient landmark, there are many who are seeking to remove it, which really is centered in the very Word of God itself. And then, this word that I ventured with now also came to me. Well, it's been a very real burden to venture with it again. Because I can say this, and I think to the glory of God I would say it, that 40 years ago I came here for the first time on the first Lord's Day in March 1966. And really, you know, my coming here as I did then came out of the engagements that I had had in 1965 in Matfield Chapel. There was a very real connection there between dear people in Matfield Chapel to those who worshipped here and, of course, elsewhere in this neighbourhood. And sometimes, you know, the Lord will use a personal testimony. It isn't often that this takes hold of me. And I'm not really going to say more than the Lord would have me to say. When I first commenced in the ministry of God's Word 41 years ago, I first travelled on a motorbike. But early in February 1966, the Lord, in great mercy, gave us what it would have been for us, our first car. That was in February. And this journey to Uffington, Saturday before the first Lord's Day in March, that year, oh, what a journey it was for me. Because, and you dear young people or younger people that are here today, you're very used to your cars and your journeys and so on. But for me, all those years ago, I had not travelled very much at all and had never had a car before. So that to drive down to Uffington, and it was a wet, cold evening on Saturday, wasn't I thankful to arrive in dear Mrs. Kate Pepler's home? When I awoke that morning in March, I cannot tell you what I may have thought that I was to come with. But the sun began to arise, and those of you who would know where the dear lady then lived, the sun arose that morning, and it was very noticeable because it came over the downs and it shone. And it was in that way that the Lord gave me this same word. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Now I can say from my heart here this morning, that I then began to prove it to be true in my coming to Uffington. And I have proved it all through the years, and there are, of course, some very dear people who have long been, and they are in glory, around the throne of God in heaven, their redeemed spirits. And to me, the Lord made them very dear people. Well, I had no thought that the Lord would have me to come with these same words. But I've told you those few things, and perhaps one more thought, really, because dear Mrs. Kate Pepper and the Lord made her very dear to me, and of course other dear people that were then here too, and their children as well. But I first began to preach in July 1965, and one of my fears, this may be strange to some of you, one of my fears was travelling. I'd never travelled. I'd lived in Tenterden and my life had been as it has. Well, I had a letter from Mrs. Kate Pepler. She was the correspondent then, and in the letter she invited me to come and preach here three times in 1966. And because of my fears, I wrote back and accepted one of them, the first, in March that year. Well, the dear lady, and I'm sure the Lord was in it, she wrote back and she said, "But we would like you to come for the other two." Now, friends, I'd never been here before. But what I can say, and I say it to the glory of God, I proved that what I had to venture with that first Lord's Day in March, 1966, now I have proved it. I can say that from my heart. Oh, the memories that I have. Times when the Lord may use this. I have to leave that. I don't know. But I know from experience there are times when the Lord can use a personal testimony to the glory of God. And the more I think about it, and the more I have thought about it since Friday afternoon, friend, I can tell you this, I've come here this morning, been allowed to come once more, but I have come in my measure with this, and the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name, bring an offering, come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And friends, what really is that? Well, I can tell you, it is when we are nothing and when Christ is all and in all. And that's real worship. And only the Holy Spirit can really grant it to us. Well then, I've told you that through the mercy of God alone, I can stand here once more after 40 years and I can tell you that yes, I proved it. And at times in a remarkable way over the years. But I leave that with you. The Lord may, it may be for some purpose. But let us come then. Because really, what I am really burdened with is the last part of verse 27. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And dear friends, one of the meanings of the word brethren is this. True, real brethren in Christ, they all have one Father. There's only one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think about those who have reached heaven and those who will yet reach heaven, they will all have had one Father. You take in the whole world and all the different people in the world and all whom the Lord has called by his grace and they've reached heaven. May we just think of it then like that. You know, real religion is it's a reality. And if we can only just think for a moment, if we really belong to Christ, then there is only one God the Father. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a hymn that says this: there is a family on earth whose father fills the throne. Now, if we are really in the way, I being in the way. Now, what is the way? Can you answer that this morning? Well, I can tell you, of course, from God's word, Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. In this way, the saints have trod from Adam's day to this. It has ever been so. But if we are in this way, the way is Christ Jesus. And if we are in this way, it means that we have been born again. It means we have been quickened into life. It means that we have come through the gateway of regeneration. It means that the words of Jesus to Nicodemus have been fulfilled for us. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, if you and I have really been born again, it will mean that our soul has been quickened into life. How? By the Holy Spirit. And that will be, I'm sure, as dear Mr. Dawson used to often speak like this about a real religion, and he would say, there are questions that living souls need to be put out of question. Now, can you come in? Can we come in then with this morning? Am I quickened by his Spirit? Let us just venture with that one verse and see if your heart responds to it. And mine too. Am I quickened by his Spirit? Live a life of faith and prayer, trusting wholly to his merit, Jesus, casting on him all my care, daily panting in his likeness to appear. Now, the Lord knows how many of you can say amen to that. Could you say this morning that it's Jesus only can do helpless sinners good? Well, and the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. You know, that first Lord's Day I came here, the Lord made it very evident that I was in my right place. And there was that that flowed out of it to the glory of God. Oh, that it could be like that once more for us today. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now, this is what I want to try and find out if I can, to see whether this is true of all of us that are here. If only the Holy Spirit will help me to do it. It's very personal. It's I. Dear friends, that means every one of us that is here. If only the Holy Spirit would bring it home upon each of our hearts. Am I one of these eyes? I. Being in the way. It means that a time came in your life and mine when this was fulfilled for us. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace. What does it do when that happens? To change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Almost all of you here this morning, not all, but almost, All of you here this morning, you were brought here as babies. You know that. And there are those of you here, of course, and you had dear godly parents. And you know that. But that doesn't mean to say that you're one of these that is spoken of in our text. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now if you are then in this way, the way Christ Jesus, and I can tell you that the end of it, dear friends, it will be heaven and glory. It will be the end of it. Well then, a little more, and of course it is a vast subject. I can only touch as much as the Lord would have me to touch. That is how I feel. I, being in the way. Now I've tried to tell you what it means to be in the way. It means the Holy Spirit has come into your heart, your life. Your soul has been quickened into life. And it has done that I've already mentioned. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in. Now you see, it means this. It doesn't mean, of course, because you were brought here, if that is true, or wherever it may have been, it doesn't mean that because you were taken to chapel as a baby and you may have been favoured in continuing to come right through your childhood into your youth. And of course there are those of you here this morning that have long been married now. Well then, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Oh, the Lord knows how many of us here this morning can say amen to that. And first of all, we must ever remember that providence and grace are bound together by God. So I venture in that way, first of all, do you know that the Lord led you here in providence? Do you know that? Do you believe that? Thinking of it in a number of ways, but just first of all, thinking about marriage. And those of us here this morning who can say from our hearts that we know the Lord brought us together, husbands and wives. Do you know that that was true? In spite of all, perhaps, your unbelief, in spite of all that may have transpired, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And do you know then that the Lord led you here, into this house of God? Do you know it, friend? Can you say yes? Yes, and it will all be tested and tried. But do you know that is so? So that you've been brought into this in your providential path. I being in the way. I think of those of you that, of course, were brought here as babies. But oh, you see, you've needed something far more than that. Friends, the grace of God is not hereditary. Parents cannot pass on, if they possess grace, they cannot pass it on to their children. That is a divine and sovereign act of God. Not to propose, but call my grace. Now, you know, there are times when this can be a comfort to us and a help to us at least, even in a providential way. That we know that we've been directed, we know we've been led, We know that the Lord has done these things. Yes, again, regarding married life. What a privilege for two poor sinners to know that the Lord has brought them together. It is one of the greatest favours that poor sinners can be granted in this life. What a favour. What a favour. When we are favoured to know this, in spite of all our sin, in spite of all our shame, but we know that the Lord has brought you together. And not only that, but you see, if the grace of God has reached our heart by the divine work of God the Holy Spirit, and what a greater blessing. When again, I put it this way, and of course it can be in other ways, but when two poor sinners are then brought together in Christ. Has that happened to you? Has the Lord done that for you? Well, you will know if he has. You will know if he has. What a privilege for husbands and wives to be brought together in Christ. No greater privilege, you know, than that. To be brought together in Christ. Not only brought together, but walk together. Walk together in Christ. What does it mean? It means you'll walk together in the Word of God. The Word of God will become your rule of life. The Word of God will become your code of conduct. And in married life, I know I'm dwelling rather on this point, but you know, in married life, those of you, and we know, those of us that have been blessed, and if God has given us children, we know very well what it has meant to us. But throughout our life, have we been directed by God's word? You think of the steps that any of you have had to take in your path. I'm keeping to this for a moment in married life. But, oh friends, have you known divine direction? Have you known divine direction? You think of where you live. You think of where perhaps you work. You think of everything to do with you. And I wouldn't leave out those that are not favoured in that way. The Lord knows I wouldn't leave them out. Because not everyone is favoured. And the sovereignty of God is bound up with it. Well then, to any of you who are not favoured with a husband, but do you know, you will know, do you know that you've been directed by this same Almighty God? And so you see, providence and grace are bound together. And I would never ever attempt in any way to separate it. The Lord has bound them together. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Friends, I have now stood in this pulpit for 40 years. And the Lord knows what I have been favoured in and all the differing things that have happened over those years. But this is God's word, I hope, given me once more. I've told you it's very personal. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now that's another side to it. Now, do we know this? How do you really feel about being here? How do you really feel about coming here to worship? Has it been made to you a spiritual home? Has it been the house of God to you? Have you known something of what Abraham's servant and Rebekah knew? The Lord brought them, didn't we? No, we've read about it, haven't we? You think of it. They came to the right well on the right day for the right purpose. And there they met. They met together at the well. And you know, we may rightly think of that as the well Christ Jesus. Well, I ask you, dear people, have you proved this to be true? Lord, help you. May the Holy Ghost be your helper this morning. And may you be enabled. May you even be taken back, whatever is needed, so that you may be able to say at the end of this service, I know that the Lord brought me here. And I read with our friends in their home this morning those few verses about the dear woman of Shunem. And you know she... You know what happened, you know how the burden of that dear woman's heart. Let us make a little chamber on a wall and set for God's servant there a stool and a candlestick and so on. But then you know she was God's servant Elisha. He wanted to do something for her. What is to be done for her? And she was called, you know. Call her, and she stood in the door. And what was said to her? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? What did she say? Can you say the same, friend? I dwell among mine own people. Are they your people? Do you love them in Jesus Christ? Do you know what it is? Has your soul been fed here? Oh, if only the Holy Spirit would come this morning and take each of us back in our life. And would you be able to say, with Jacob regarding this house of God, this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. What has made it that to you? Well, I can tell you, it's when Jesus has revealed himself to your soul. That has made it the house of God to you. And if it has been true, oh, what a mercy if it has been true and it's been made the house of God and the gate of heaven. Have you ever been able to say about this chapel, I keep it that way? Have you ever been able to say this? I have been there and still would go. It is like a little heaven below. Oh, when Christ has been revealed to your heart as your hope of glory, when you heard his voice, whoever the minister may have been, whoever it may have been, but you will know if any of God's servants have ever been used by God to speak to you. Have you ever felt that you were the only one in the chapel? Separated from everything and everyone. And you may have been, indeed you will have been, you will have been able to say, how dreadful or how full of awe is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And another thing is this. Have you ever felt like this about this? I use this way of speaking. Have you ever felt like this about this chapel? And you felt it to be God's house. The Lord has been there. And you've been spoken to. The word of God has reached your heart with a measure of power. And I can tell you what it will have done for you. You will have known a little of what the dear man felt whom Jesus went over the sea to find him. And as it is with all of us by nature, that poor man, he had his dwelling among the tombs, where death reigned. That describes our case by nature. But the Lord found him, didn't he? The Lord went to find him. One poor sinner. And those of that place, they wanted him to be gone. But what I had just come into was this. Where do we find that poor dear man? There he had been. We're told about him, and it could be said of some of us anyway, no man could bind him, no, not with chains. No one could do anything with him. But as soon as Jesus comes where he is, delivers him from that power of evil, then where do we find him? Well, we find him here, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And let me add this about him. What did he say to Jesus? He'd been delivered. He'd been blessed. He'd been favoured indeed. Well, this is what we read. He desired him, Jesus, he desired him that he might be with him. Have any of us ever really felt like that, even for a few moments? He wanted to be with Christ. Have you ever felt like that? Put it another way. There is nothing on earth to be compared like it. When we really feel that Jesus is our Jesus. Have you ever been able to say this? Oh my Jesus, thou art mine with all thy grace and power. I am now and shall be thine when time shall be no more. Well, you know, he desired Jesus that he might be with him. What did the Lord say to him? Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Now that was the Lord's own words to him. It wasn't the time for him to be with Jesus. There was a work for him to do. There was something yet to be accomplished. And the Lord told him what he must do. He wanted to be with Jesus. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion upon thee. Well, he was found inside of this word. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I have to leave it with you, you know. Have you ever felt like that? You will know if you have. And you will know if you never have. But you'll know if you have. There, my best friends, my kindred dwell. There, God, my Saviour reigns. I'm asking you, dear friend, do you have a spiritual home? The Lord granted it to you. You know, you may go away on holiday, you may do this, you may do that, but you know, this is to be known, and it is known, when you feel there is no other place for you, putting it this way, than this house of God. And in your right mind, you wouldn't want to be anywhere else, would you? It's home. It's where Christ is. It's where his voice is heard. It's where he speaks through his word to you. Now, I know I've been asking you a lot of questions. And though all those questions need an answer. Can you give an answer to it? This very morning. Oh, I did need divine guidance to know how I was to try and speak. And now I'm coming to a close. And I could have done no different than what I have had to venture with. 40 years ago, I came with this same word. And I still remember it. The day, and I remember things that happened. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord, and you know, I did. I did 40 years ago. And I'm doing it again today. And he said, blessed be, oh, the burden of this dear servant of Abraham's. And really, this whole chapter here, it speaks about the ministry. It speaks about poor, sinful man going forth in the ministry of God's holy word. And you know, if they are sent by God, their one burden is, and I feel I can say it's been the same with me, but you know that the one burden of Abraham's servant was to take back Rebekah to his master's son. And that is the burden that God's servants carry. Oh, it is to take poor sinners by the hand and to, if I may use such wording, lead them to Christ. That is their burden. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. Why did he do it, friends? He'd received some very wonderful answers to prayer, hadn't he? I don't wonder he bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. I don't wonder at all, because when you think about it, what did we read? Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for my master's son. Oh, and we read, and it came to pass. He asked for certain signs that he was in the right place, the right time. He asked the Lord for certain signs, and the Lord granted it in answer to prayer. But just finally, what do we read when his prayers began to be answered? Rebekah comes, the very one who it was to be. But you know, this dear man was given much wisdom, and the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. You know, he didn't put his own hand to it. He didn't put his own hand to it. But he waited to see what the Lord would do. Amen.